Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Homecoming. That's been the series we have been in, and I want to thank Dr. Michael Patterson for doing an incredible job teaching us and preaching to us about what it means to be the church, coming home and having a spiritual family, what that looks like, because that's what we have been studying out. How to be the church, regardless of what culture we're in, the context of our lives, or even the latest controversy. Now, we are grateful because God himself gave us a blueprint for what the church should focus on, what we should be devoted to. And we find that in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. This is right after the first century church was born, the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had risen from the dead and had gone back up to heaven. The apostles were preaching the word. 3,000 people were baptized in that moment. And then we get to learn what they devoted their lives to. In verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So while Dr. Patterson has touched on three of those four pillars, I'm going to preach on the last one, which is prayer. And I want to help us understand the importance of being devoted to prayer together. All right? So the title of this message is Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Have a Little Talk with Jesus. All right, so as we go into this, remember, we've been addressing not just our own personal convictions, right? Not just our own personal disciplines, but what does it look like to live this out, to be devoted to prayer as a faith community, as a church family? And while, let me tell you, prayer is a very broad topic, I'm going to hone in on one specific example from the life of Jesus, because, I mean, let's face it, the only reason we're devoted to these four pillars and the first century disciples were devoted to these four pillars is because Jesus was devoted to these four pillars, and we want to imitate him as his disciples. What do I mean by that? He taught them how to be teachers and learners. He showed them what spiritual fellowship looked like. He commanded them to take communion and took communion with them, right? And he prioritized the importance of prayer, even in his darkest hour, especially in his darkest hour, all right? But before we move any further, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to learn from you, from your word, God, and we just ask you to join us right now, Father, that that you will give us eyes to see and ears to listen, Father, that that you will challenge us and enlighten us and reveal to us the areas in our lives that that we can grow in, that you will encourage us to get closer to you, Father, and ultimately that we can grow in a deeper relationship with you. Please be with me as I preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, let me tell you, I just want to start off just sharing a little bit about, you know, my life and just what I have been going through over the last, you know, several weeks. It was several weeks ago where I was having some time with Jesus, and I was praying to him, and I just told God, I'm just tired, you know, I'm just worn out, and I need to be strengthened, God. I don't know if you ever had those prayers, but it's like, can I make it today, Lord? I'm worn out. It's been so much going on, and I was ready for a little vacation. It was right before I went out of town, and I was just, God, I just need you right now. And I came across a very, you know, a popular and well-known scripture, but one of my favorites, which is Psalm 23. And I started in verse 1 where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And in that moment, I realized that it was my soul that was weary. It was my soul that was worn out. It was my soul that was tired, and it needed to be restored. It went beyond the physical. It went beyond the mental or the emotional, being emotionally drained. No, I'm like, this is it. Like, my soul is tired right now. I need to be restored. And I'm like, man, I haven't thought about my soul much lately. You know, I think it's easy for me to think about, you know, my heart, my mind, you know, how I feel physically. But, you know, even in our society, I don't think we talk about the soul that often. I think one of the reasons is that it can't be attributed to like something physical, like the heart, you know, which is talked about in the Bible. We have a heart, you know, the mind is talked about in the Bible. We have a mind, you know, our strength is a physical thing. But our soul is a little bit different. It forces us to face the fact that we are more than just our bodies. I read a quote recently that is said to come from C.S. Lewis. It says, we don't have a soul. We are a soul. We happen to have a body. And I'm like, that's true. Like, this skin and bones is going to be over with at some point. We're going to die. We're going to either get buried, or we're going to, you know, be cremated. I mean, that's done, but we just have a body. We are, our soul is that inmost being. It's who we are at our core. And if that's true, then, you know, we got to wrestle to what happens to our souls when we die. And that's something that most people really just don't want to think about. They don't want to worry about that, but we have to worry about it. And I love, that's why I love that movie Soul, that new movie, little cartoon animated movie Soul, because I think it put our souls back in the forefront of conversation. It reminded us that we're more than just skin and bones, that our souls really do matter both in this life and the next. And while we don't talk a lot about the soul, Jesus did. Jesus spoke about the soul. When asked about the greatest commandment, he said it was to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our strength, and our soul. Our soul. You know, Jesus himself, he was in touch with his soul. And we see that during his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Which took place after they took communion in the upper room and before his life would be taken on that rugged cross. And we're going to read that story right now. And we're going to see what prayer has to do with the caring and the restoring of our souls. Okay. In Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36, it says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. You see, in this moment, in a matter of hours, Jesus shows his disciples his devotion to the four pillars that we have been talking about. He took communion with them just now, right? He brings them along afterwards because he needed the fellowship. And so he was with the 12, and then he says, hey, Peter, James, and John, you all come with me. I need you in this more intimate setting, in this intimate moment. And why do you need them for? To pray. He needed them to pray with him. And along with that, he's teaching them every step of the way so that they will in turn understand that and do that for each other after he is gone. So the question is, why does he prioritize this moment of prayer? Well, as we read through there, it says that his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. He said at that moment when it was the toughest for him, not just physically, not just mentally, not just emotionally, but spiritually on a soul level, he said, you know what? This is the time where I need to pray because I'm about to go through the toughest thing I've ever had to go through in my life. And what do I need? I need my brothers so that we can pray together. You know, a devotion to prayer as a community helps to take care of our souls. So here, that's what we learned, that prayer helps to strengthen our overwhelmed souls, our weary souls, our anxious souls. Prayer helps us in that way. When it goes beyond the physical and even the emotional, our souls need healing. Our souls need to be strengthened. Jesus understood that, and he said, what's going to help me the most in this moment is not to sleep, but to pray. Prayer helps us as well to not fall into temptation, because when our souls are weary, when we are run down, it is so much easier to give in to Satan's plans and his attacks on us. And so when we get strengthened, we're able to resist temptation. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. He said, listen, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in this moment, what was going to help them the most was to pray together so that their soul could be strengthened. Now, I can understand the disciples. They were like, I'm tired. I need to sleep. I got to keep their eyes open. And Lord knows I fell asleep more than once on some prayer. So I understand, believe me. And I love me a good nap. Let me tell you, I love me a good nap. I can go hard all day, but if I can rest my eyes for a few minutes, sometimes in between there, I feel so much better to finish out my day. But what God is teaching me is that what a nap can do for me and my body physically, prayer does for my soul spiritually. Let me say that again. What a nap does for my body physically, prayer does for my soul spiritually. We cannot sleep our problems away. We cannot drink our sorrows away. We cannot smoke our anxieties away. We must go to God in prayer together. See, a devotion to prayer shows a dependence on God, not on those foreign substances, right? Not on a drug or a drink or even another person or career or a dependence on how many zeros we have in our bank account. No, it's a dependence on God. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to really depend on God in our prayer life? It means that that we have to go beyond our just kind of talking to God half-heartedly or even by the way. You know, I talk to people and I ask them how they're doing in their prayer lives. And I say, I pray every day. But when I ask them and get a little bit more specific, they're like, yeah, I thank God every day. I wake up and I thank God for waking me up today. That's what they see as prayer. Or they say, yeah, I pray before my meals. Or, you know, man, throughout the day, I'm just thanking God, or I'm just asking God. And that's good. The Bible actually says for us to pray continuously. We should constantly be talking to him. And it's so good to wake up talking to him. It's so good to fall asleep talking to him. And it's so good to thank him throughout the day. But what Jesus teaches us here is an extended time of prayer where he had to go back three times to pray to God, a time where we pour out our souls to God. And he wanted his brothers to be there with him. I believe he wanted that camaraderie. He wanted them to hear his heart as much as he wanted to hear their heart in that moment. And so that goes a little deeper than just, oh, by the way, I'm just going throughout my day saying a few things to God. We have to go deeper in our prayer lives and take the time and put in our schedules to talk with God. And sometimes if I'm rushed or if I'm hustling from here to there and I'm feeling like I don't really have the time, yes, I'll pray in my car or yes, I'll pray as I go. But sometimes I just put my timer on my phone and say, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. Sometimes I have my prayer walks. And so I'll either go, I have a 15-minute prayer walk and then a 30-minute prayer walk route, you know? So it just helps when you have that time set apart to know that I'm not rushed and I can keep wrestling things out with God in this time and even come back to it until my heart is at peace. Because it is through prayer that not only do we get to talk to him, but we actually hear from him as well. In those times of prayers, I'm praying to him. I hear him speaking to my heart, speaking to my soul, leading me, answering my prayers, even in the moment. Which leads me to my next point, that a devotion to prayer shows that we are deliberate about building our relationship with God, that we're intentional about that, just like we're intentional about all these other things in our lives, and we can plan for those and we can prioritize those. Man, how intentional are we in building that relationship with God that requires two-way communication? That as we talk to him in prayer, we listen to him as well from the scriptures, and we want to make sure that as we hear from God, that it aligns with God's word. But that means that we're being intentional and deliberate about building our relationship with God. And on top of that, devotion to prayer helps us to submit to the will of God in our lives, especially when it involves sacrifice. And that's what Jesus was struggling with here. Jesus was struggling with submission. He was struggling with, says, God, if there's any other way, take this cup away from me. But you know what? Not as I will, but as you will. When's the last time we wrestled with God like that about decisions in our lives, sacrifices that he's calling us to make, where ultimately we let him know how we really feel? We don't have to put up a front with God. We don't have to act like everything's okay. We don't have to have these holier-than-thou talks. No, we can be honest with him about how we feel in certain situations, what we want, what we don't want. But ultimately, we finish out the prayer the way Jesus did, not as I will, but as you will, God. But here's the thing. It's not just about being submissive to God that's what we have to wrestle with. No, we also got to wrestle with what it's like to be submissive to one another. We got to pray about these one another relationships. Sometimes it takes everything in us to respond to somebody who has hurt us in a way that is pleasing to God, to submit to his word and his calling, right? His wisdom when it comes to our one another relationships, right? So here, I mean, you think about it, Jesus was struggling and his friends were sleeping. How would you feel in that moment? I know I would feel alone. I would feel like they don't love me enough just to stay up with me. I haven't asked much from them. I don't need much personally. Yeah, he's asked them to be who they need to be for God, but how often did Jesus ask for help? But in this moment, when he actually needed help, they weren't there for him. And so I believe that, you know, a part of him had to wrestle with, man, loving them in spite of the way they were hurting him in that moment and making that moment even tougher. And so how is it going? You know, when Jesus talks about praying for our enemies, praying for those who hurt us, praying for those who mistreat us. And that can be especially challenging with our brothers and sisters in the church. Because sometimes we don't expect much from the world. That's fine. We understand the world's going to persecute us and hurt us and do what they do. But when it comes from a dear brother or a dear sister, that's when it can be tougher. And yet Jesus gives us the remedy for that when that impacts our soul. And the remedy for that is also prayer. That's the solution. I want to turn over to John chapter 17 because here we get to see what Jesus prayed for. And this was in the upper room as they were having their last supper before he went to the garden. This is what he prayed for. Okay. In verse 20, it says this, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in you and I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, prayed for us to be one, to be as united as he is to his Father. He prayed for complete unity. Why? Because he said, that's when the world will know. That's when the world will know that you have sent me. That's when the world will know that this thing is for real. You see, the challenge with us, our world, our society, our culture, our country, is not that the world is going crazy and there's issues with in politics and with our criminal justice system and racial violence and economic disparities. You know, that's an issue, but the real issue is that the church isn't united. Because when the church is united, when the disciples come together and fulfill the prayer of Jesus and help his prayer be answered, that's when the world will know that there is Christ. And with him comes hope. With him comes love. With him comes salvation. And so it's really on us to do our part to help Jesus' prayer come to reality. That's when the world will know that there's more to this than what's going on in Afghanistan, though our hearts go out to them, right? There's more to this than all the issues and the challenges that we face as a country. There's more to this than all we're seeing with COVID. There is hope, and that hope is in Christ. Now, Jesus had to pray about this because unity is hard. Unity is tough. Why? Because conflict. We fight. We love our way. We love to be right. I mean, that's just in our human nature. We got to stay united because while we're bickering and we're fighting, Satan is plotting, and he's plotting to take us out. And prayer is such a great tool to help us be united. And then Jesus himself says, listen, there's great benefits to being united in prayer, right, as a people. And he says, when you are united, I am with you. I will answer your prayers. And so, you know, even me and my wife were like, hey, are we united in this prayer? And it just helps. It just helps that we're on the same page. Because let me tell you, unity between two people in a marriage is hard. Not to mention God's kingdom or the American church or even our own church. But what I like to say is, hey, let's start at home. Let's make sure that at home, for those of us who are married, that are, as spouses, husband and wife, we're united with our children. We're united, right? If we're single and we're in a roommate situation, how's our household? Is it united? Then go into our small groups. Are we united? And if there's any conflict, man, have you called that person, initiated with that person to pray? Because I don't know about you. Let me tell you, that's hard. That is tough. Even when me and my wife are in conflict, if she says, you want to pray about it? Yeah, I'll pray about it. And I'm thinking, I'm going to pray about it by myself. It is so humbling and so vulnerable to pray together in that moment with somebody in which you have conflict with. But God uses that to soften our hearts, right? And to bring us together in a way that there's nothing else can do that but prayer. But prayer. So, you know, as a church, we put a high value on fasting and praying. We fast and pray together at the beginning of the year. We do as much as a 3-day fast, right? And we spend time praying together for the year. And then every month, on the third Thursday of every month, we fast and we pray together. Now, let me tell you, those Thursdays, they come kind of quick sometimes. And I've even missed a couple. I ain't gonna lie. I even missed a couple, you know. But man, I know in those moments, though, I'm not a big fan of fasting. I'll tell you that right now. It is not easy for me, but it seems to always come up when I need it the most. And what I love to do in those times, as I spend time without food, I like to pray with people. And I see it's interesting because I'm more inclined to pray with people and for people while I am fasting. So if you've fallen off on the Thursday thing, please get back on it. This is a way for us to be united in prayer. And that's going to be a light to the world. So this week, I have a special assignment for you. When you get together in your small groups, just spend some time in prayer. I'm so grateful for our small group, The Incredibles, because every time we get together, we ask each other what the prayer requests are. What prayer requests do we have? And then we pray about those prayer requests specifically on our virtual call. And then we put it in the group chat so that we can be praying about it. You know what that does? That helps us to celebrate when God comes through, when he answers our prayers, when problems get fixed, when relationships get healed, right? When we get healed physically, we get to celebrate with God. So that helps us so much. Let's do that in our small groups this week. I know we love to fellowship. We love to talk, but let's talk to God together and let's see what God does through that time. At this time, we're going to pray for our communion because this is what we do every single week to remember Jesus together, right? We take this this cracker that represents his broken body and this juice that represents the blood that was shed for our sins. So let's take a few moments to remember Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for this time to be able to eat this cracker and drink this juice and be able to connect with you and with your son and with the Holy Spirit at this time. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for the way he wrestled with you in order to submit to you, submit to your will for his life so that we can be saved, Father. And thank you for that example. Thank you for the example that he set for us that we can imitate in devoting his life to teaching, right? Your word, Lord God, and teaching us how to be learners and teachers, God. We thank you for the way he showed us how to fellowship and taught us about communion and taught us about prayer. What an incredible tool, what an incredible resource we have in prayer to connect with you and to connect with one another as we talk to you, Father. Help us not to take that for granted, Lord. We thank you so much once again. We pray that you be with our time right now as we reflect on you and on our love for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.